Boo! Hey, everybody. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of our Martin Luther King Day holiday weekend edition of Animal World. We're here until noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us, your family and friends around the country and around the world if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the stream is go directly to the 1150kknw.com website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World. And, Palisades Park. Wasn't that a great song? I mean, it was just so wonderful back then. And when we combined it with the World's Fair at the Seattle Center, man, we just bopped and rocked to that song. Oh, so much. Anyway, we're really sending all that energy back down to Palisades, sending them their energy back. And I know I cried and, I felt the wonderful energy and I cried. So I did both on that one. And Nathan was helping too, and my gosh, what a fabulous song. We'll do it again at 11, and you can do it any week. You can pull up Freddie Cannon and Palisades Park on YouTube anytime, and you can be sending to them and helping them process the grief as well as filling them back up with all that incredible energy they've got. And Natasha will let when it comes to all the grief, there's a lot of grief to move, and you can't hide from negative emotional energy. You can't bury it. You can't stuff it. You can't walk over or around it. The only way is to walk through it. You must experience and feel it. That's why we're here. But once you do that, you can release it and let it go. Okay. So that's what we're helping with, is we're helping release that and move that grief through and get that magical Palisades energy back to them. So thank you for helping with that. Just one more thing I'll tell you. If you want to know what's some great animal, the stories and about the rescues and what's going on, our friends Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org, they are on this. They're reporting, and they're, so you go to their website, animals24-7.org, and their last report had to do with California fires and lots of stories and everything. And there, I would like to read you the whole report that they published. It's so good. And so much of it's all about the animals. But we don't have time. Okay. So you got to go to animals24-7.org if you want to see it all. So there we go. All righty. It is the third Sunday of the month, and that means Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with me, and Talk with Your Human or Animal Loved Ones and Basic Psychic Stuff with Natasha. And we are going to the phones. So looks like we are headed first, maybe to snow territory. We're heading over to Montana. Roberta, welcome back to Animal World. You're live with me and Natasha.
Good morning to everyone.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you white over there?
Oh, we are very white, and we are very cold. It's about 20 degrees right now.
Have you seen Nathan's parents? They were driving through over there.
No, they're... He told me they went through, they had to stay in like Missoula and or Billings. And so Missoula is 2 hours south of me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But you're okay. You've just got a lot of snow going on, huh?
Yeah. Well, I only got a half an inch last night, but I got about 6 inches about 3 weeks ago and about 4 inches about a week and a half ago. So
we're
packed snow, but that's okay. I love it.
So winter's happening in Montana. Well, I would hope you do. That's why you live there, I assume. Anyway, what can we help you with?
Well, I'm calling about Tuck. So he's I got him in early November, and he was 7 months old. So he's 8 months old now,
and he's a mini Aussie, right?
Yeah, he is. Yep.
And okay, so what do you want to, you want Natasha to check in on him, or what do you want to know?
Yeah, I do want Natasha to check in on him, because I'd kind of like to get his perspective, plus I've got some training issues. I did go through a puppy class, but it was kind of worthless. I mean, I learned some things to teach him, but yeah, I think that's all I'll say.
Yeah, well, you know, you're kind of, it's one of the things that really disturbs me these days. I mean, it used to be you went to basic obedience class to solve problems with your dog, you know, and when I taught basic obedience classes for close to 20 years, and, you know, day one, class starts, first thing I did was deal with all the problems that you know, the problem dogs. Okay. And we would do it in front of everybody. So everybody got to learn how to do it and what was involved. We got all the knuckleheads straightened out before we even started class. Well, now they stuff them in corners or won't let them in the building and all of that. And obedience classes don't really seem to solve problems. And well, anyway, and that's why I do what I do and work with people privately. But so anyway, I'm sorry you didn't get what you needed, Roberta, in the class, but I don't think that's all that unusual these days. So what's going on with Tuck that you need help with?
Well, he has a pretty good calm, but he comes and he won't stop. He'll come and take off again. So he has fairly good recall. The problem is I'm out in the wilderness and I've got deer, and he got out the other night and went after them, and he came back, but he left again, and then he came back, and I had food in my hand, so I was able to catch him. But that's a big deal. And then he, even though he was around other dogs when he was a pup, now he sees dogs he doesn't know, and he either wants to go play with them, but he's barking at them, and I've got a death grip on him. And so I'm going to have to work with somebody on that. But I also kind of wanted to see what, you know, I get feedback from him where he's at and what's, you know, because this is a whole new deal for him.
Okay. Well, now, so I'll just say, you know, all the problems, you know, the behavior stuff you're dealing with, that's what I deal with all the time. Okay. But
So
I'm going to step back, because right now I want to take advantage of Natasha because she's here.
Yeah.
So before I muck it up with anything else, let's let not Natasha get a clear read. And so Natasha, what can you lend to all of this, and Roberta and Tuck?
Okay, so what I'm getting is that at first I got, for some reason, there's a little bit of passive-aggressive anger in there.
In the dog?
In the dog, but I'm kind of like trying to figure out where that sits. I don't know why I got that was the first thing that downloaded was just a little bit of anger, but let's put that to the side.
Right.
So being a teenager that he is,
I don't
get that he was under a lot of control when he was a pup. He was basically a free floater and that kind of thing.
Yep.
And so he's got to learn that you're the boss. You know, he's got to learn that process. And it takes longer than just that little bit of, because you're working with a teenager. So you know how sometimes when you get the information before they're teenagers, you can usually get them during the teenage years, but now you're in the middle of it. And so, let's see, what can we do for him?
Just so you know, I never had kids, so.
Yeah.
So I'm not trained in that kind of, I understand the perspective, but I don't have skills in it, so.
I can respect that. So basically what I'm getting from him is that if you can give him a job with the recall. So it's like, Martha, maybe you can help me with some words, but he's looking like, if you can give, it's not just a recall. Recall is boring to him. You know, it's like, give him something that's more, interactive about the recall. So it's more like a job, because him being the breed that he is, he's almost too smart for his own good. And being a teenager, it's like, let's go have fun. Oh, wait a minute, mom's calling. But I don't really know mom. I don't really respect mom, but I'm trying to figure out mom. But yet I don't know what to do about this, but that's fun over there. And I've been able to have fun all my life, but why sh I don't want to stop partying. You know, it's like, it's that part of it's that part of, and I'm trying to give you the energy field of him. So if you give him that spark of, oh, I got that. I can do that too. Oh, okay, yeah, I want to do that too. So an idea might be is that you on a leash, you come, sit, stay, heal. You know, you it, it's more, it's not just a come stay. You know, it's you come and give him other jobs around.
Well, it's more like it sounds like. See, if you were doing basic obedience training in a good class, okay, you'd be drilling the healing and learning to walk with you on a leash without pulling and paying attention to you. That can be a job. Okay. And, you know, walking and sitting and then learning, you know, about turns, right turns, left turns, going fast, going slow. All of a sudden you're backing up, doing a recall, but the, you need, you know, you got to have some basic training. You got a smart, bratty teenager on your hands. Okay. Who knowing you, and 'cause you hadn't a dog, he's probably not cute and all that. He's probably spoiled. And because of his free roaming path, you know, he's fancies himself in charge, and you're going to have to do some rank busting. Okay. But
Just a quick question for Natasha. Can you tell whether where he was in his in the hierarchy? Because he had siblings. I think he had three or four siblings. Where he was in the hierarchy of them, because I wondered about that, if that's easy to figure, is that easy to figure out or not?
He wasn't like mom type of hierarchy, but he was part of he was part of the I know what to do's in the siblings. He wasn't the relaxed small one that sat in the back. He was the one that, you know, probably ventured out of the box on the first or second time. You know, he was one of the ones that, you know, it probably if you put him on his back, he was like, I can do this. But I got things to do, so I'm not going to stay here. So he'd try to wiggle out of it, not because he didn't want to lay down, but for him to, you know, you're going to probably find that you're going to want to, and even when he's 5 years old, you know, in the middle of the house, tell him sit, stay, and heal, you know, and then walk away. Give him a keep giving him jobs, because he's going to be one that his mind is going to be working. And so, in the middle of nothing, give him a job. You know, like if you see that his energy is amping up. If you heard about, you know, my cat here, you know, it's like sometimes when their energy amps up, you have to do something to work in with them. So that's the time where even if you're sitting on the couch, you and he gets up and he's pacing, you say, sit, stay. You know, come.
Got
You
it.
know that kind of
And
thing.
even a, you know, a retrieve game can be a job. You could start
Right.
hide and find toys, you know, in your house, that sort of thing. But Natasha's very right. You have a smart, herding breed that needs functional job description and that in his life. I, from my point of view, you know, as the behaviorist and trainer. What I would do with him, Roberta, is that I'd be drilling his socks off on obedience stuff. You need, and I would be working him on a pinch collar. And you need to know that if you are going to train, a pinch collar is the only collar that you can train with and not damage the cervical spine. So even if you use just a flat collar or a chain training collar, jerk release corrections will in fact damage the cervical spine. They will not if you're using a pinch collar. They're also a lot more
He's in a
powerful. And if
harness.
you, pardon me?
Yeah, he's in a harness.
Yeah, not going to
Not
commit,
at
not,
first.
and especially if you want long distance off leash control, which you need if you want to be able to stop him from going after deer and whoever else shows up. See, you're not going to be able to pussyfoot around with this. You're going to have to do some serious training. Okay.
Okay.
And that's going to involve a pinch collar and drilling. This guy would be really good. I don't know what's going on over in Montana, but I'd have him in beginning agility work at this point, trick classes, and drilling him on a pinch collar and basic obedience skills, and then working on basic recall. But once he knows how to learn from you, you've worked out all the bugs on that level. Then I would go to, because you need that absolute long distance control, because you don't want to lose him. I would then, as a new training tool, I would use an e-collar.
Yeah, that's what
E-collars
I
are,
was thinking too.
because the new ones, all of the awful things about e-collars that made them horrible decades ago have all been worked out. They're usually three button collars, and you have sound, vibration, and shock, and you can control the level of every one of them. And if you are, there are some trainers that train with shock, e-collars from puppyhood all the way through life. That's not what I do, but I use them for specific problems. And the one thing I do the most often is for long distance off leash control. And if you've laid all the ground with the training, they know how to learn from you, and they know the sequencing and all that stuff. It's easy to slide an e-collar in there, and that gives you a way to communicate with them long distance. And you can absolutely solve the "I'll take off and chase anything around." You will be able to control him that way. And I found I had to do the same thing with my Robbie Golden Retriever. Because, now not he is, fancies himself the social greeting committee of the world, and he loves everything, because I raised him, I socialized him all the time. So he loves all kinds of animals, all kinds of dogs, doesn't have an aggressive cell in his body. But when we would go over to the ocean, I'd go off season, so we can walk those wonderful beaches on the coast, and he thought it's his job to greet every dog and every person that's on the beach. And one day we were out there, the weather was bad, it's off season, there's nobody on the beach. Then maybe a half a mile down the beach, there's a guy comes out on the beach. And darned if Robbie was within a certain range, he would respond. But if he got out of that range, yeah, he just might not. And so he was kind of out of the range of response. He sees this guy down the beach. He looks at me, and I said, you stay here. And he looks back over there. He looks at me, and again, and I said, right here. And then he said, "Can't help it." And he took off, and that little sucker ran, half a mile down the beach, say hi to this guy. Now, he's not aggressive, and he was friendly. And fortunately, the guy was nice, and I was young enough to be able to run after anyway. So home we came after that trip, and we got e-collar, and so I got him conditioned for it here. Went back to the coast the next year with e-collar. Roberta, it changed his life and mine. And I was
Right.
amazed at what a difference, because it used to be when we were out on that beach, he'd be watching everything and what's going on here, what's going on there, and can I see that? Can I see that? Once he knew that was no longer an option, that he could only greet people if I gave him permission to do it, and we talked to him for and all of that, he didn't care anymore. He was the most attentive, pay attention. He would see people's stuff on the beach, wouldn't even think about taking off. And he's been the best, most well-behaved dog on the beach ever since. So I think you're going to have to go probably through the same process, but you can't start with the e-collar, because you got to lay the foundation with your basic obedience training and stuff first. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep,
All right. And
totally.
then you're going to have to teach a friend's exercise and a jolly routine, so that you can be coaching him, because when he's on the leash and it sounds like he might be getting a little defensively aggressive with other dogs, is that what you're describing?
Well, no, he wants to run over, and initially with my friend's dog, Chick, they got into it a few times. over the Frisbee. And mm-hmm. She didn't really want to fight back, but there were a couple times where I pulled him apart because I thought it got too serious. I think he's learning not to do that. But I, at the class, there was no way I was going to do the meet and greet because I had no idea what he was going to do. Now, he was raised around German Shepherds along with his siblings and his mom. But still, she said he was good with dogs. Of course, they all say that. But yeah, so I need him to be social around other dogs, not barking, not lunging, not trying to go see and go play and do whatever.
Right. So
that's the thing, though, right now, is that you're not a number one. He has not connected with you as a number one. And those breeds, once they connect with you as a number one, you've got them. But right. It's taking the time to get the respect. And that's what I'm getting is that, you know, if you go in, you know, I kept seeing a kindergarten class, you know, it's like, you know, I work in elementary school. So, you know, it's like you get in, you teach the rules, you do the thing, and then you keep revisiting it all through the year. Your class, your kid, your dog will do better because you set the ground rules first. And then you just keep reminding. And I get that, you know, until he's about three, you know, I keep seeing about three. So when he's
about
three,
mature between 3 and 5 years of age.
Exactly. So that three, you won't have to have so much of an on moment with him. But he's also right now a teenage boy.
Mm-hmm.
Testosterone.
Has he been neutered, Roberta?
Yeah, not yet.
Okay, if you're seeing any aggression towards other dogs, neuter him now.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that will help.
He hasn't really. I mean, I think he mainly is. He wants to be social with them. He wants to play, but because they're somebody else's dog, I'm not going to risk him changing his mind in the middle of the stream. Kind of thing.
Yeah, and remembering you've got testosterone going through a male dog right now that is a teenager. And if you think about teenage boys, you know, it's like they don't care about speed, they don't care about, you know, damaging their bodies, they don't care about things. And so if you can take things, you know, get him to know you're number one, and I see him looking up at you like, "Mom, you got me." You know, I do see you doing this, but it's that him getting his respect of you is a number one, and then get the testosterone down, and then at the same time, when he is around other animals, breathe. You gotta breathe. You gotta relax. If you think he's gonna get in a fight, he's gonna get in a fight. And I get a dog. I have a dog that I struggle with this too. You know, because she has. You know, she's a black mouth cur. She's got that tendency in her. I've had pits before, you know, so it's like I understand what that fear base is, but you have to breathe try to negotiate it the best you can. And
yeah,
practice
and what
will
Natasha's
do better.
Talking about right now, and she's talking about you have to breathe and all of that, what she's hit on is something that's extremely critical. And solving the issue you have with his relationship with other dogs. And we're going to have a similar call coming up next. So, Roberta, can you continue to listen to the show?
Yep. Yeah,
okay.
I will.
Because I think there'll be stuff in this next call that would be appropriate. Now, but what you need to know, and we're so over time on ads here, I think, Nathan, we're going to have to put them all together and just do one longer break. At any rate... there is no reason at all, Roberta, why all of this can't be fixed and brought under control and all of that. But you need a lot of education. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I can't. Now, if you are over here, see, we'd set up an appointment. I'd come and work with you and we'd spend five hours plus together at one time for me to teach you everything you need to know. And get him under control. I can't do that here on the radio with you.
Okay? No, I know. I know.
So
Yeah.
I think we may need to do a session off the air over the phone. You know, we never
Right.
work
Okay.
that long. But in order for me to coach you through that, and then I can give you stuff in bits and pieces. You need the friends exercise, you need a jolly routine. I know, and we've got a similar call coming up, but it's a fear reaction and going after other dogs. So it might be that I can tell her some things that would also be important to you, but just know all of what you're dealing with is completely resolvable. But I don't have enough time to teach you everything you need to know here in, 5 or 10 minutes on the air.
And
Right.
remembering that you have a smart dog who's in
Yeah.
the peak of his moments of being, I'm dog, you know? And so if you can get through this mountain moment, you know, the peak moment of where you're at with him, you know, that 7, 8, 9 month, you know, time frame, that 10th month time frame, and you become his number one, you've got him. He's a smart dog, and he's also a breed that recalls at a far distance. So he's
No.
already wired to be able to do that, to listen to the adult in
You
the
know, all
story,
herding
right?
breeds, border
Yeah.
collies like Nathan's
Right.
Abby
Yep.
and Aussies, they all have
Yep.
shepherds. And you've seen the wonderful videos of how great they are at herding the sheep and all of that. Well, they don't do that all on their own. They're being directed by the shepherd and have been, so they have a powerful leader. It just isn't evident when you see them working because there's a lot of groundwork that happened behind the scenes that you didn't see. But he needs
Right.
Tuck needs a real, a shepherd, and you're going to have to lower the boom and do some rank busting, I think, with him
Yep.
to get all this under control.
Yep.
So do
It's
you
almost
so
like,
can I
oh,
ask,
go ahead.
sorry, can I ask another quick question? Because my friend that lives here with his dog, he's more of a dog person, and so Tuck is really loves to play with him. We walk out of the house, he's looking over there. Are they out? Can we go play? But I'm sort of worried about him being more, Tuck being more tuned in and listening to him than me.
Yeah, be
So
careful of
is that
that.
some, what's that?
Yeah, I would in this I'm not saying this is a
I think
crucial
she's
time.
saying your concerns are legitimate.
Yeah, yes.
Right.
Yeah. During this time where you're setting up your relationship, you have not had time to set up a relationship with him yet. And so in this time of getting to know him, and you know, he likes that male tone in the voice, I get, you know. So that's where you
And the other thing
be
is,
the
the
mom, be the parent. You
and the
need to.
biggest mistake people make when they're raising dogs like that is allowing too much freedom too quickly.
Yep.
And one of the things you want is off-leash and long-distance control. So I wouldn't give him any freedom. And if you
Yep.
have him out, he's on line with you.
Yep.
I would have a really, really, really long line that you could
I
just,
do. Yep,
stick
I
on
would do
him.
that.
So he's on a line. So he can't take
He's
off
on a
anymore
lunge
'cause
line. So, Martha, you know what a lunge line is because you had horses. So he's on a
Yeah.
lunge line. Yeah.
But
So
I mean, do you
he's,
have
you
a
know.
line that you can just put on him and he just drags around the property? So he can't take
I
off after a
could.
deer because there's a line on him and you can stop him?
Well, I mean, the lunge line I have is 30 feet, but I can make one. I mean,
Yeah,
I'm
make a
getting
longer
another
one.
one.
Yeah, make a longer one.
And
Because you
I've
just don't
even,
want to
okay.
give him any freedom. Anyway, we're way over schedule.
Okay.
We gotta take care of advertisers and get to another phone call.
Okay, thank you.
But I'd be at
Thank
least we've
you.
had we've been able to talk some. We're just gonna have to do more.
That's fine.
And
That's fine. I appreciate
controlling a
everything.
dog like Tuck and what you're, some of them I can talk you through everything on the air. He's one I really would be better if there was any way we could work together in person. That would be ideal. But we can do a lot more on the phone if when we have more
Okay.
time. Okay?
Okay. All right.
He's
Thank you
going to be a
both. I
great
really
dog,
appreciate
though. Yeah, I see him being a great dog. You're just at this crossroads of establishing the brilliance that he and you can be together.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Gives
Okay.
me hope.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, there's
You
always
got a
hope.
great dog. You got a great
See, the
dog.
nice thing is, see, Roberta, the wonderful thing is it he's an Einstein. And Einsteins are my favorite to work with because they learn real fast, but they're smart enough to push and test. And the dogs in the dog world that cause all the problems are the Einsteins and the Dumbos. Okay.
Yeah.
But Einsteins learn fast and you have so much more potential. But they really, and if you know what you're doing, see, these are the kind of dogs that make people think I walk on water. Because when I come in and you got a smart, sensitive model like an Aussie like you got, when you know what you're doing, you can bring those dogs under control immediately and have a model. Okay. So I can transform these dogs in one session. And people think, oh my God, she walks on water. Well, no, it really is. You just need to know what you're doing with these guys. You're obviously, admittedly, you're saying, I'm not a dog person, but the guy who lives next to me is, and my dog's wanting to be with him, not me. So anyway, we just need to teach you the skills that you need. Once you know how to do that, you'll be able to work through all of this stuff. Just don't give him too much freedom too soon.
Yep, so everything's a job.
Yeah.
Everything's a job. When you feed him, when you pet him, when you do... Sit, stay. Everything's a job.
Yep. Okay, I guess that's all we can do for this time around, but stay listening because when we talk to Sandy, there might be some stuff that'll apply to you too.
Okay, I will. Thank you again very much.
Blessings.
You're welcome. God bless. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
All righty, we're going to take care of all our advertisers here all at once, and then we'll come back. We're going to Kameno and talk to Sandy. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com. Now.
Hi, this is Marilyn Milano. If you love animals, then please check out my new show, Love Has Many Faces, Tuesdays from 9 to 9:30 a.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150. I'll be talking with rescue groups, animal advocates, and other organizations that help animals, sharing their stories and giving our listeners some tangible ways in which they can help make a difference. That's Love Has Many Faces, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150. Raising awareness, touching hearts, and saving animals' lives.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world? Triggered by people around you? What's going on in your personal life? Or shifting energies? Looking for inspired guidance? Need to talk? Natasha Ventner, intuitive personal awareness coach and medium, can help by sharing insights, tips, and tools to support you through life's glitches and snags. Natasha helps you empower yourself. Visit Natasha's website, intuitiveclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and heartfelt, caring approach can help you. That's intuitiveclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Get your daily dose of variety. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey-o, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down the second hour, our holiday edition of Animal World. We're here till noon and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we heard from Dr. Nels Rasmussen. You can check him out at healingministryforanimals.com. And if you heard our healing show last week, you'll know what a great healer he is and wonderful work he does, you know, for our animal friends. Doing lots of free workshops, Zoom classes, if you're a member of his private membership group, which only costs $10. And he always does a free telephone evaluation if you would like to see if the neuroenergetic balancing would help you and your animal friends. You can go to his website, healingministryforanimals.com, click on the contact link and tell him you'd like to talk and he'll arrange a phone call. So healingministryforanimals.com. And of course, our sound healer, Jude Ponton, Whispering Dragon Center is now in Shoreline at her home. So easy access, lots of parking, and just such a gift to be in the healing room and the sound and the acutonics and all of that. Check her out at whispering-dragon.com online, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook, or you can give Jude a call at 206-706-2836, 206-706-2836. And when you know, we heard from our wonderful Natasha during that long break. And Natasha Venter, you can check her out at her website, which is intuitiveclarifications.com, intuitiveclarifications.com. And then Natasha has a YouTube channel, Natasha Venter IC, the letters IC for intuitive clarification, Natasha Venter IC. And on that YouTube channel, Natasha, you do a regular podcast on Wednesdays at 4. Is that still happening?
That's still going on. I took a break during the holidays, but I'm back on doing that. And I had a great show last week on feng shui and energy that's coming in and how to kind of allow the new energies to come into the house or the home that you have. And even doing, there was somebody who actually lives in
yurt.
A yurt. Thank you for reading my mind. A yurt. And you can even feng shui a yurt. It's an amazing thing when you align your energies of the home with the energies of you and how much, like my house, I have a septic system and two bathrooms in my relationship corner, and my relationship is actually getting better as I've went, because I've honored the space, and like animals, like energy, you work with it, and you become part of its leadership instead of it leading you.
And, well, and there's definitely something to it. Feng Shui wouldn't have been around as an ancient, you know, art that for all these centuries, you know, if there wasn't something to it. So.
Something to it. And yes, so it's amazing. I've been so enjoying doing this, helping. I do also short little videos on social media, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and also TikTok if it comes back. It will come back. It's just in a transition, like a lot of things right now. And so I do short little videos daily on that. And I will also be, I haven't sent out my newsletter yet, I will also be at the Issaquah Pickering Barn, the first and the second, the first weekend of February, doing a fair down there.
So like doing private readings then and stuff.
Mm-hmm, private readings. You can find that information on my website.
All right. Before we run out of time, let's get to our next caller. And now this, Natasha, Sandy's going to join us from Kameno. And, I was up there, I think last week or week before, sometime this month to, work with, Sandy and her husband, and they have a wonderful, you know, I think, what do we have him as a, pit husky mix, mm-hmm. rescue. His name is Ace. So, don't you tune in, because we're looking for some background stuff. Wonderful couple, wonderful, great dog, but a little strange. So, let's head up to Kameno. And Sandy, welcome to Animal World. You're live with me and Natasha.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Hey, Sandy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right. Now, I'm just, I've kind of told Natasha just a little bit, you know, that Ace and, you know, pit husky guy. And you can see the husky in him because he's kind of on the blonde side, but his tail curls up over his back. And he's a cute guy, and he's really a sweet, sweet dog. I really liked him. He's about 4 years old. He's a neutered male, originally from Texas. Sandy, remind me, how long have you had him?
We've had him for 10 months now.
Okay. And so he's, you know, like 4 years or so now. So, you know, he's already an adult and don't really know history. And that's what I'm going to tell you what we're experiencing behaviorally. So I worked with Sandy and Scott and Ace. And then they did call in last week. So we started with some work with Dr. Nels, right?
Yes. Correct.
Did you notice any difference at all with Ace after Nils worked on him?
I really kind of watched, you know, his reactions and stuff, but it was interesting because he was laying here by me when Dr. Nils was doing his thing, and he actually, I could see his breathing was
change.
It had changed. And then he rolled over, and then he was showing his right side, and Dr. Nels had started working on his right side, and he said that's where, you know, he saw a lot of the tension.
Right. I'm remembering Dr. Nels said, Natasha, that Ace needed a lot of work and that he was very out of balance. And didn't he say, Sandy, like he had to do all the work on one side of his body?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the right side.
It was the right side. He had to do all the work on the right side of his body, and that's a little unusual. Now, but what he's doing behaviorally, and the reason and what we want to work on is that, you know, I mean, Ace, he's a wonderful dog, and he's real people friendly, and he's just a neat he's just a neat dog, Natasha. It's really great. But when it comes to other dogs, okay, now. He's not a blatantly aggressive guy, you know, that fires up and and runs off and attacks dogs. But he's, you know, he's territorial and he defends and all of that. But when he'll come together with another dog and they might, you know, posture off and sniff a bit and everything's fine. And then he's one of those dogs that then all of a sudden He just snaps. And 0 to 60, he's attacking the dog.
Yes.
So he runs up the other dog, and they nose off, and it looks like things are okay, and then boom, he attacks. And it's dramatic enough that, I mean, it's not really a normal thing. I've seen this before, you know, in all my years of working with dogs, but never when I had all the tools I have now and when I had someone like you that we could tune in. Anyway, I'm really curious if you can see anything in his background or what his history was or anything that might relate to why and what triggers when he goes 0 to 60. And I was hoping maybe you could get into the energy of him doing that. And what is he feeling or thinking or there? Well, what's going on? Well, anyway, what, if anything, can you lend to the us understanding this situation?
Okay, so what I'm getting is that he lived in a very unstable scenario. And the people that had him, I would say that it wasn't...
Now, this might be in Texas, him growing up, you think?
No, but I'm getting that it was... I wouldn't say that it was probably this, but the energy I feel is like a drug house.
Oh, okay.
You know, and so, but I don't get that it was a drug house, but it had the energy of it. So,
okay.
Like the person who had him, or was the male that was in the house, had an anger management problem, and they would have people over a lot. You know, and they were. They were more younger. They were like early 20s, mid 20s, you know, type of thing. So their testosterone was kind of going up. And so when other people would come over, the dog would have this angst in him. And so when other people would bring over their dogs, the energy of the house was already up to, let's say, 60. You know, and
okay.
So when somebody would come in with another dog, and then the voices would get louder and things would get louder, and he would learn that other dogs coming in was his escape of that energy.
He could release it that way by
he
firing
could release
up.
that fear, that angst, and him being a pit, mix that can have that trigger in him. I used to have a husky pit mix, shepherd
okay.
pit mix, and it was like fine, wrong dog, wrong time, you know. And it was just this undertone that was in there, and I just had to be careful of the energy of that other animal. Like if that other animal had...
Well, it sounds like so there was a pattern of him. He lived in a high anxiety, environment with young people, you know, a drug type energy atmosphere. And so there are probably no consistency in all of that. And then people just piling into the house, the people and the dogs, and the anxiety levels already high. And then with everything. So there's probably sounds like maybe Sandy, there's a pattern in his background.
Yeah.
That
I'm wondering if he got kicked. I'm also wondering if he got kicked on that. He kept getting kicked.
Well,
or something. Or something was happening that he kept getting, like, you know, because you know how huskies always want to be in the mix.
Right.
You know, get the hell out of my way. You know, get.
So yeah. So people getting after him.
That's kind of the feeling I'm getting. Now, my language about it might be off.
All right.
But that's
well, what I want you to
I'm
do,
getting.
Though, is now, okay, so what I do with that, because Sandy, often Natasha will describe stuff, and then it helps me understand and the idea, and that's going to come up big time in another call we've got coming today.
Okay.
All right. So what, Natasha, go with me on this. So how about we could have a situation where because he really is a nice dog.
Yeah,
he's a good
I get
dog,
that.
All of that. But we've got that history of all that anxiety, maybe some abuse by the humans, and his release was firing on other dogs. Mm-hmm. And then we know that Nels checked him out, and his physical body balance is way off and out. So we're starting some balancing there. So I'm thinking to go, so we have a situation where he now, even though he lives in a nice, calm environment and peaceful and great property, but he'll then start to engage with another dog, and just the dog's presence, which would be normal for maybe any dog in that situation, or lots of dogs, the anxiety level goes up, you know, because they aren't social with other dogs and they usually don't want to. But so the anxiety comes up because of there being another dog. And it when it reaches a point, he maybe flashes back to where the old, you know, the old experience and that patterning inside. And it triggers the attack because it releases that anxiety.
And that's a nervous system trigger.
Right.
It's not a mental trigger.
I'm not done yet. I want you to watch this. So what now? What we did is now Sandy and Scott, they know, hopefully have been working on the friends exercise and jolly routines. But what I found with these dogs that are doing what you're describing, Natasha, is that the huge difference is the owner's coaching them through that situation.
Yes.
So instead of standing there and watching and saying, oh, God, I wonder how he's going to respond. I wonder if he's going to, oh, he might attack this dog, because that energy would get it going. So instead of doing that, they're like, oh boy, it's friends. Ace, it's friends. Dog friends. Oh boy, it's friends. Doing happy coaching with words that he now associates with accepting and that. In many cases, that's enough to diffuse that anxiety so they don't fire. Now, do you see them coaching in the way I've described with a little more balance with him? Do you see that helping?
I do see that helping. I do see that working. This is a dog, though, you may have to watch if you have that one dog that has a little bit more, the tail up, that little bit more of an, I'm going to use the word ego. Dogs don't have egos, but, you know, a little bit more ego.
But they can act like it a lot.
They can act like it, that you may just want to say, oh, time to shift, you know.
Yeah,
then
that's
leash.
Where you'd trigger out with a jolly routine, or you know,
and I would almost exit like the dog part, or do something that's different, because you know it's like my dog, you know, and I'm using my dog as an example that you know she always has this tendency, and that's where I have to work around it, you know, when you have this instinct, and it's almost this instinctual thing to him because it's embedded in his nervous system since he's been little. And so when you have something that's embedded in the nervous system, sometimes it's, you can work it out, you can negotiate it out, but there's just that one moment that just triggers that nervous system. And Nell's doing the work on him will make a big difference.
Right. So it'll probably work faster if you work with him off the air and do a series of treatments, or we can just do it once a month, you know, for free on the air. Now, we're over time again, and so we need to wrap up this call. But what I want to know here now, Sandy, are you good with this right now? Do you want to hold over the top of the hour, and we can talk to you on the other side and discuss it a little more, or answer any questions that you have? Do you want to hold on with us?
I'm going to stay on and listen. I think I'd like to, I'll work with him this coming week with what the knowledge you've given me and see how he reacts. And we were gone for a week, so came back. So I'm going to connect with Dr. Nels also.
Excellent.
And so, you know, I'm hoping between the two of you, the three of you actually, and myself being able to work out some of these
right. So you want to see how it goes. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll let you go. And, but I want you to stay in touch with me off the air, you know, cause the next time we'll talk to you on the air would be the second Sunday of February when Dr. Nels is back on. So, but I want reports from you in the meantime between now and then. Okay.
Okay.
Alrighty. Will sounds
do.
Good.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks
so
for
much.
Calling in, Sandy.
Thank
God bless.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty. And I'm sorry, Roberta, wasn't what we were going to do that I thought. So I know that because she already has the friends exercise and the jollies. So I didn't have to go through it again. Anyway, we're going to wrap up hour number two, fire up hour number three. That means we are going to one more time fire up Freddie Cannon's Palisades Park, and we are going to dance and send all that magical Palisades energy back down to California, when we're not sending it to the individuals. We're sending it to the mass consciousness and the higher selves of them. So it's kind of like going above, okay? And that way, then they can bring the energy in when they're ready for it. And if you hear the song, you feel the magic, and then the grief comes through, that's okay. But let it out. Cry and cry. And what you're helping do is process the grief for everyone. So we're going to help process the grief and send the magical energy back. And we're going to do it through Palisades Park. And I'm going to energize that up. And Ethan, you can just don't run the promos and stuff. Just the ad. You don't even have to do the ad. We can just do Palisades Park. I'm going to energize up the music with our yogi energization prayer. So we're sending even more great energy down. So here we go with that. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy consciousness. Cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. O eternal youth, the body and mind abide in us forever and forever via Palisades Park, and it's coming right up. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk AM 1150.